Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. It's the 23rd day of December. Merry Christmas Eve Eve. For those of you who want to put it in all things Christmas terms this week, we are on the eve of Christmas. And I can hardly believe it. I'm Jill. It's so great to be here with you. We are winding down this year together, this month together. And of course, we're also headed to the end of this week as we're just making our way through the Word of God. We do it every day. We read the Word and center ourselves around the Word every day until we get through it together in a year. And we are almost there. So I'm going to say it again, but for right now, well done. Well done. You're doing it. And we have done it imperfectly, but that's the journey of life. That's the journey of faith. We will get it wrong. We will miss days. We will mess up. We will not get it right. But we will be here, and we will be here together. And that's the beauty of the journey, that we are never alone. Reading today in Hebrews chapters 11, 12, and 13. And this week we are reading in the Voice. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. It was by faith that our forebears were approved. Through faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Everything we now see was fashioned from that which is invisible. By faith, Abel presented to God a sacrifice more acceptable than his brother Cain's. By faith, Abel learned he was righteous as God himself testified by approving his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, although his voice was silenced by death. By faith, Enoch was carried up into heaven so that he did not see death. No one could find him because God had taken him. Before he was taken up, it was said of him that he had pleased God. Without faith, no one can please God, because the one coming to God must believe he exists, and he rewards those who come seeking. By faith, Noah respected God's warning regarding the flood, the likes of which no one had ever seen, and built an ark that saved his family. In this, he condemned the world and inherited the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham heard God's call to travel to a place where he would one day receive as an inheritance, and he obeyed, not knowing where God's call would take him. By faith, he journeyed to the land of the promise as a foreigner. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his fellow heirs to the promise, because Abraham looked ahead to a city with foundations, a city laid out and built by God. By faith, Abraham's wife Sarah became fertile long after menopause, because she believed God would be faithful to his promise. So from this man who was almost at death's door, God brought forth descendants as many as the stars in the sky and as impossible to count as the sands of the shore. All these I have mentioned died in faith without receiving the full promises, although they saw the fulfillment as though from a distance. These people accepted and confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on this earth, because people who speak like this make it plain that they are still seeking a homeland. If this was only a bit of nostalgia for a time and place they left behind, then certainly they might have turned around and returned. But such saints as these look forward to a far better place, a heavenly country. So God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a heavenly city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he endured God's testing, offered his beloved son Isaac as a sacrifice. The one who had received God's promise was willing to offer his only son. God had told him, "It is through Isaac that your descendants will bear your name." And he concluded that God was capable of raising him from the dead, which figuratively is indeed what happened. By faith, Isaac spoke blessings upon his sons, Jacob and Esau, concerning things yet to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of his son Joseph, bowing in worship as he leaned upon his staff. By faith, Joseph, at his life's end, predicted that the children of Israel would make an exodus from Egypt, and he gave instructions that his bones be buried in the land they would someday reach. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was handsome, and they did not fear Pharaoh's directive that all male Hebrew children were to be slain. By faith, Moses, when he was grown, refused to be identified solely as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose instead to share the sufferings of the people of God, not just living in sin and ease for a time. He considered the abuse that he and the people of God had suffered in anticipation of the Anointed One more valuable than all the riches of Egypt, because he looked ahead to the coming reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, unafraid of Pharaoh's wrath, and moving forward as though he could see the invisible God. Through faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of blood on the doorposts among the Hebrews, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would pass over their homes without harming them. By faith, the people crossed through the Red Sea as if they were walking on dry land, although the pursuing Egyptian soldiers were drowned when they tried to follow. By faith, the walls of Jericho toppled after the people had circled them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab welcomed the Hebrew spies into her home so that she did not perish with the unbelievers. I could speak more of faith. I could talk until time itself ran out. If I continued, I could speak of the examples of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and all the prophets. I could give accounts of people alive with faith who conquered kingdoms, brought justice, obtained promises, and closed the mouths of hungry lions. I could tell you how people of faith doused raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, made the weak strong, and stoking great valor among the champions of God, sent opposing armies into panicked flight. I could speak of faith bringing women their loved ones back from death, and how the faithful accepted torture instead of earthly deliverance because they believed they would obtain a better life in the resurrection. Others suffered mockery and whippings. They were placed in chains and in prisons. The faithful were stoned, sawn in two, killed by the sword, clothed only in sheepskins and goatskins. They were penniless, afflicted, and tormented. The world was not worthy of these saints. They wandered across deserts, crossed mountains, and lived in the caves, cracks, and crevices of the earth. These, though commended by God for their great faith, did not receive what was promised. That promise has awaited us, who receive the better thing that God has provided in these last days, so that with us, our forebears might finally see the promise completed. So since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before, an enormous cloud of witnesses, let us drop every extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with endurance the long race set before us. Now stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of that death because he focused on the joy that was set before him. And now he is seated beside God on the throne, a place of honor. Consider the life of the one who endured such personal attacks and hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. among you in your striving against sin, none has resisted the pressure to the point of death as he did. Indeed, you seem to have forgotten the proverb directed to you as children. My child, do not ignore the instruction that comes from the Lord, or lose heart when he steps in to correct you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he corrects each one he takes as his own. Endure hardship as God's discipline, and rejoice that he is treating you as his children. For what child doesn't experience discipline from a parent? But if you are not experiencing the correction that all true children receive, then it may be that you are not his children after all. Remember, when our human parents disciplined us, we respected them. If that was true, shouldn't we respect and live under the correction of the Father of all spirits even more? Our parents corrected us for a time as seemed good to them, but God only corrects us to our good so that we may share in his holiness. When punishment is happening, it never seems pleasant, only painful. Later, though, it yields the peaceful fruit called righteousness to everyone who has been trained by it. So lift up your hands that are dangling and brace your weakened knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame in you won't be put out of joint but will heal. Pursue peace with everyone in holiness, since no one will see God without it. Watch carefully that no one falls short of God's favor, that no well of bitterness springs up to trouble you and throw many others off the path. Watch that no one becomes wicked and vile like Esau, the son of Isaac, who for a single meal sold his invaluable birthright. You know from the stories of the patriarchs that later, when he wished to claim his blessing, he was turned away. He could not reverse his action even though he shed bitter tears over it. You have not come to the place that can be touched, as Israel did at Mount Sinai, to a mountain crowned with blazing fire, darkness, gloom, and a windstorm, or to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of a voice and message so harsh that the people begged not to hear another word. They could not bear the command that was given, that if even a beast touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrible that even Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." No, instead you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to heavenly messengers unnumbered, to a joyful feast, to the assembly of the firstborn registered as heaven's citizens, to God the righteous judge of all, and to the spirits of all the righteous who have been perfected. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant between God and humanity, and to his sprinkled blood, which speaks a greater word than the blood of Abel, crying out from the earth. See that you don't turn away from the one who is speaking. For if the ones who heard and refused the one who spoke on earth faced punishment, then how much more will we suffer if we turn away from the one speaking from heaven, the one whose voice in earlier times shook the earth, now makes another promise. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The phrase, yet once more, means that those things that can be shaken will be removed and taken away, namely, the first creation. As a result, those things that remain cannot be shaken. Therefore, let us all be thankful that we are a part of an unshakable kingdom and offer to God worship that pleases him and reflects the awe and reverence we have toward him, for he is like a fierce fire that consumes everything. Let love continue among you. Don't forget to extend your hospitality to all, even to strangers, for as you know, some have unknowingly shown kindness to heavenly messengers in this way. Remember those imprisoned for their beliefs as if you were their cellmate, and care for any who suffer harsh treatment, as you are all one body. Hold marriage in high esteem, all of you, and keep the marriage bed pure, because God will judge those who commit sexual sins. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because he has said, "I will never leave you I will always be by your side. Because of this promise, we may boldly say, the Lord is my help. I won't be afraid of anything. How can anyone harm me? Listen to your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. Notice the fruits of their lives and mirror their faith. Jesus, the Anointed One, is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by diverse and strange ways of believing or worshiping. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about what you can eat, which do no good even for those who observe them. We approach an altar from which those who stand before the altar in the tent have no right to eat. In the past, the bodies of those animals whose blood was carried into the sanctuary by the high priest to take away sin were all burned outside the camp. In the same way, Jesus suffered and bled outside the city walls of Jerusalem to sanctify the people. Let's then go out to him and resolve to bear the insult and abuse that he endured. For as long as we are here, we do not live in any permanent city, but are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, then, let us keep offering to God our own sacrifice, the praise of lips that confess his name without ceasing. Let's not neglect what is good and share what we have, for these sacrifices also please God. Listen to your leaders and submit to their authority over the community, for they are on constant watch to protect your souls, and someday they must give account. Give them reason to be joyful and not to regret their duty, for that will be of no good to you. Pray for us, for we have no doubt that our consciences are clean and that we seek to live honestly in all things. But please pray for me that I may be restored to you even more quickly. Now may the God of peace, who brought the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus, back from the dead through the blood of the new everlasting covenant, perfect you in every good work as you work God's will. May God do in you only those things that are pleasing in his sight through Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, to whom we give glory always and forever. Amen. Please, brothers and sisters, pay attention to this word of exhortation, for I have written only a few words to you. I want to tell you that our brother Timothy has been set free, and if he arrives soon, he will come with me when I see you next. Give my greetings to your leaders and to all of God's people. Those of Italy greet you. May grace always be with you. Okay, let's get caught up a little bit of where we're at in Hebrews. Yesterday, we reached a point at which the implications of the gospel became clear. Because of Jesus, we can boldly enter God's presence directly and individually as righteous sons and daughters. Today, we turned a corner and began discussing what is necessary to enter into and engage in a personal relationship with God, and that is faith. Obviously, we're not interacting with this concept for the first time in the New Testament. We examined it at length as we moved through the writings of the Apostle Paul. However, Hebrews gave us a succinct and famous definition. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. That was the beginning, Hebrews 11:1. In other words, faith is what allows us to see a reality and begins to live into that reality, even though it has not yet reached its fullness or completion. It gives substance to what is unseen. If this is faith, then we must admit that we as humans are equipped. We all have faith in things we cannot see. Take love, for example. We cannot see it, but none of us would deny its existence or consider the arrival of tomorrow. We cannot yet see it, but we do not question whether it will come. We exercise faith in our lives every single day in one way or another. The point in Hebrews wasn't whether faith existed. Few would argue with that. The point was that faith had always been part of the Hebrew story and had always been the essential piece. It preceded any other ritual or behavior, and therefore must be foundational. Making this point was very important to the writer of Hebrews, and thus, we were led into what has often been called the Bible's Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11:4, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. And etc., the statements that we read today. We can see the author of Hebrews simply began in Genesis and started working forward through the stories found in the Hebrew scriptures. The intention was to reveal that faith had always been the activator and has always been essential. Why? Because entering into a new covenantal relationship with God through Jesus would take faith, and it would take faith to hold on to that relationship, come what may. The Hall of Faith isn't a list of people who are exceptions, but a list of people who serve as examples for all of us. Faith was the activator in their stories, and we will get nowhere without it in ours. As the writer of Hebrews put it, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. So the consideration today is, where do we put our faith? And I love the meditative thoughts in the God of your story today that follow up what I just read. Do we put our faith in an expectation of an outcome of what we would like God to do for us? I have been thinking a lot since I've read through the Bible in a year now in chronological order with you all, that I think sometimes we confuse the promises of God with our expectations from God. The promises of God are very clear. They're written in the Word. It's not a free-for-all. It's not we get what we want because God promised that to us as His children. He is a good and loving Father, but even a good and loving Father knows when to tell His children no. So is our faith in an expectation of an outcome, or does our faith extend beyond the outcome that we are hoping for and rests in a faithful and loving and trustworthy God who knows better than we do? My faith is learning to trust and rest in the mystery of Almighty God. Father, we thank You once again for this specific word that took us back to the Old Testament on this journey together that jogged our memory of the stories that we read at the beginning of this year, in the middle of the year, and worked our way through the men and the women who lived great faith. We thank You for these examples. We see the imperfections and the flaws of their humanity, but we see the great faith of these incredible men and women who placed their faith in Almighty God. We believe in what we cannot see, what we cannot know, and what we sometimes cannot even explain. But we trust You, God, because You have proven Yourself faithful. I pray that we would examine our faith today. Where is our faith lying? Are we resting it in an outcome? And will we turn our back on You if we do not get what we are expecting You to do? Or will we dare to look beyond the horizon, beyond our circumstance, beyond the expected outcome, and look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith? We sit with that today And I pray that we would make any necessary changes or adjustments in our thoughts and our beliefs. We thank you. We love you. We praise you, Almighty God. We pray this now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, home base. Check it out. If you have not, that is the website. That's also the app. It's free. You can download it. If you would like to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you so much for your partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or you can hit the give icon. It's up at the top right-hand corner of your mobile device, or look for the give icon on the website as well. If you need prayer, if you'd like to call in and pray for someone that's previously called in, you can do so. 800-583-2164. Or you can utilize that app once again. Hit the red circle button. It's up at the top right-hand corner of your mobile device again as well. You have 2 minutes. Make sure you hit submit and turn the wheel to chronological, and it will get to the right place. We're going to have to do some scooching soon. You don't have to do it right now. I'm going to have to do some scooching. I got to make some room for my daughter to come in. We're going to share this together next year. I cannot wait. But we're going to have a lot of new people coming in. So everybody just take a little scooch to the right. Make some room. We've got some new people coming in whose lives are also going to be changed and transformed by going through the Bible together in a year on this journey through chronological. We have a little time before we're for real scooching, but just get in the mind frame. There's going to be a lot of people joining us, especially beginning of the year. New Year's resolutions being made, new habits, new people, new, all things new. That is the promise of God that we can cling to. That's going to do it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. Look forward to it. Until then, love one another.
Good morning, my DABC family. This is Pamela from Pennsylvania. It's so good to be with you this morning, all among all of you in fellowship, in prayer, and in reading and listening to our God's word to us, the Bible to us, day after day after day after day, allowing God to work through all of that, knitting things together that occurred, knitting concepts together that happened. It's just so amazing when you do it every day and you do it in community. This community has so richly, incredibly blessed my life, and God is bringing to fruition the dreams and hopes that He started planting in me 6 years ago when I left my husband. My son and I left him, and we have been in an apartment, actually a couple of apartments. Right now we're sharing a one-bedroom apartment. I have the bedroom. My son sleeps in the living area. We cordoned off an area for him. And it's just perfect because I have lupus and fibromyalgia, and I can't take care of things. And James is suffering from many, many traumas and things, and he needs to be healed, so we don't have a lot of space to clean up and keep after. It's perfect. God couldn't bless us more. So I'm just here to say thank you to all, and God bless you all in Jesus' precious name. I love you all. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I just was listening to DAB on the 17th, and the lady who talked about her daughter calling her missing the calls, and then being told that oh, it wasn't her, that it was her baby. Boy, the Holy Spirit rose up inside of me, and was one of those flag alerts, like that, like a lie. And I'm just, that's just what I'm saying. That's what I'm feeling. I felt it right away. I just don't believe that an infant is going to be able to get into somebody's phone. Yeah, I mean, I just believe the Holy Spirit's telling me the infant's not going to get in the phone and randomly dial somebody, the person's mom, twice. So be encouraged. Try not to believe that message. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up this lady. I lift up this relationship, Lord. Lord God, it's oftentimes easy for people in our culture and in this time to lie. So I lift her up. I lift up this relationship, Lord, and I ask for restoration. I ask for redemption, Lord, because that's what you're in the business for, in the name of Jesus. And the most important thing, I ask of her daughter whether it's a restored relationship with her mother. I'm sure her mother would agree. Let's get her relationship restored with you first, in the name of Jesus, just as I'm trying to do myself every day. Tilly from Florida, God bless y'all.
Hi, this is Victoria Soja, just calling to pray for some of the Dabbers. I wanted to pray for my brother Brady, who just retired from the Marine. Welcome, Brady. I retired a few years ago from the Army. It's good to have you, and I see you getting the contracting job. I pray that God continue to bless you, and that you'll always be a Marine, but it's good to be a retired Marine when you've done the work. Gracious Father, we just ask you to have your way in Brady's life. We just ask you to guide him and protect him and give him the comfort and provide for him and his family. You open doors that no man can close in his life, in the name of Jesus. We just ask you, Lord, to also bless our precious baby Joshua, who's going through. He wants to go to school, and he's fallen sick. Lord, you have your way. You heal his body. You are the great musician. You're the great physician, Lord. You can do anything but fail. You have your way in Joshua's life. You also have your way in your protector's life. You have your way, Lord, in those marriages, Lord. You have your way in our kids who are depressed, or the kids that are confused. You have your way in those that are incarcerated, Father. You have your way in the name of Jesus. As you bless and heal Joshua, Lord, I ask that you have your way in the others, Lord, in the lives of those others that are going through, Lord, in the marriages, Lord, in those who are going through loneliness, those who don't know which way is up, the woman who got a bottle of liquor, Lord. Take away the liquor, but give her the joy, Lord. Give her the joy and friends, Lord, that she can see that someone still loves her and that she is special in the light, in the eyes of God. Lord, you have your way. Continue to bless Jill and her family. And I just want to say thank you for the DAB Chronicles, Jill. We're almost there. And this is my first year with you. And I just wanted to say thank you to you and to China, and look forward to next year being with you in China. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you the glory. Thank you, St. Dabbers. God bless you all, life and favor to all the Dabbers. In Jesus' name, amen.